Okay, let's see what we got here online. Oh, let's see. Oh, another crypto message, another offer for crypto. Okay, some TikTok comments. Oh, good. Spam. More spam. More spam. Oh, we're on? Okay. Hi, I'm Joel Garcia. Welcome to the Pop Culture Shuffle. On today's show, it's mostly football, but we're going to talk about the CW as well. First up, we're going back to the CW, but this time we're covering the network itself. And then, we're going to talk about the NFL, including all four divisional games and my early thoughts on next week's championship games. But first, we have TV to talk about. A while back, I highlighted the bizarre situation involving the CW and its affiliation chaos here in San Diego. At the start, I briefly commented on their ongoing evolution as a network. I had much more to discuss about that, but it was taking up way too much time. It was already a long segment about something completely different. So instead, we're doing that particular topic as its own segment, as I find it to be a very interesting thing to discuss, especially considering the CW's current predicament. For those unaware, the CW signed on back in 2006, the end result of a merger between Warner Brothers, the WB Television Network, and CBS's UPN. At first, the network tried to satisfy everyone with its mixture of sitcoms, dramas, reality TV, and wrestling. Eventually, after a few years, the network drastically cut back on everything but dramas and became much more known for shows such as Gossip Girl, 90210, and The Vampire Diaries, all of which in general follow teenagers doing raunchy PG-13 rated stuff. It also became the unofficial home for DC Comics by the multitude of superhero shows that began airing in the early 2010s, such as Arrow and The Flash. It was also the modern home for modern reboots of shows owned by both companies' respective studios, including Kung Fu, Walker Texas Ranger, and even the obscure 80s adaptation of Beauty and the Beast. The network has endured other changes during its short run. It eventually dropped its non-existent daytime block, neutered their Saturday morning block from Kids WB to nothing but educational content, and sometimes simulcast programming from their sister networks, such as the MTV Video Music Awards and RuPaul's Drag Race. If you've seen the CW recently, you might have noticed some changes. Gone are the days of teen and superhero dramas dominating the network. Instead, it has partially reverted to the format of its early years with a mixture of sitcoms, dramas, and reality TV. It has also begun airing sports, with the controversial Live Golf, college football and basketball, and the long-running highlight show Inside the NFL. That is particularly new for the CW, which had never aired sports beforehand unless one were to count local broadcasts or UPN's short run with the original incarnation of the XFL all the way back in 2001. As to why this has happened, the CW's longtime owners, which through many mergers and acquisitions eventually became Paramount and Warner Brothers Discovery, sold off majority control to Nexstar Media Group. Both still own a combined 25%, but Nexstar owns a controlling 75%. If you've never heard of Nexstar, then you probably live in one of the few TV markets where they don't own a local station of yours. The company owns and or operates stations around the country which are predominantly affiliated with the CW, but also maintain affiliations with one of the other big four networks, such as Fox, NBC, CBS, and ABC. Here in San Diego, for example, they own both the Fox affiliate KSWB as well as the independent KUSI. Nexstar is also behind the News Nation cable channel, which airs news and, for some reason, reruns of Blue Bloods on the weekends. the changes they've made to the CW have been a mixed bag. On the one hand, they have successfully broken free of its association with teen and superhero dramas, which has become somewhat of a joke in the industry. On the other hand, they're relying much more on sports and acquired programming and less on original content. Only 5 shows remain from the CW's pre-Nexstar era. All-American and his spin-off Homecoming, Walker, Superman and Lois, and Whose Line Is It Anyway? The former 3 appear to be safe, Superman is in his final season, and the latter appears to be in some form of limbo. The rest of the network's content consists of shows from either Canada, Australia, Europe, or anything that aired elsewhere. The reality dating competition F-Boy Island, originally streamed on HBO Max, was cancelled, but quickly picked up by the CW. Another show, The Chosen, which is about the life of Jesus Christ, that originally premiered in limited theatrical screenings before airing on the CW. Even their latest series, Wild Cards, is actually a show that's being produced and airing first in Canada. What makes this whole thing even weirder? They begun airing reruns of The Conners, a sitcom that is still airing new episodes over on ABC. All of this makes for a network with a complete lack of identity. It's gone from teen dramas to sports and whatever comes across as cheap and easy to make. In fact, Nexstar is pretty much admitted to doing that, but they have a good reason. Throughout the CW's entire existence, the network has never been profitable. Yeah. Seriously. Despite having aired shows such as Everybody Hates Chris, America's Next Top Model, the aforementioned Arrow, Smallville, Supernatural, and even Reba, it has basically been losing money for both CBS and Warner Brothers, and by extension, their corporate successors. This isn't even a problem that began with the network itself. You can't even blame streaming because Netflix was only a year away from starting their own streaming service. It was already an issue for its direct predecessors. From what I've looked up on Google, both UPN and the WB were losing money by the early 2000s. The CW was basically an attempt to make a profit by merging 2 failing networks. Considering everything I just brought up, that plan backfired horribly. Now, there are a lot of possible reasons as to why this has happened to the CW, why they haven't made any money. Now, one could blame the fact that ratings have always been low for the network, and I do recall several moments in which they had high ratings for a series premiere like 90210 and The Flash, but other than that, they were always dead last. Probably the only time they would beat a show in the ratings is if the other networks were airing reruns, but even then, more people would watch reruns than anything new on the CW. Personally, I feel the biggest problem was the network's lack of sports programming. They didn't air any sports before Nexstar acquired them, and that to me was always the biggest issue. You have this network that has a lot of free real estate, and yet they're not using it. There was even this moment in time in which they didn't air anything on the weekends, save for their Saturday morning block of edutainment programming. And it's really weird how you couldn't put anything there that was already on cable. If you had the opportunity to be on a broadcast network, even if it is the CW, I think a lot more people would watch it than if you were to put it on the CBS Sports Network or ESPN News. Probably the best example of a wasted opportunity is when CBS and Warner Brothers collaborated on the NCAA tournament, in which CBS shares games alongside TBS, TNT, and True TV. And yet here I'm wondering, what about the CW? Like, it's right there. You could put some games on the CW so that people have to ask every year, where the hell is True TV? And also, True TV is just a terrible network. Like, They've gone from being all about chords to comedy to... I don't know anymore. I really do appreciate what Nexstar has done for the network when it comes to airing sports. It finally gives these stations something to air other than, say, random weekend crap. As for the network's future, it is dependent on what Nexstar does next. They have been buying stations around the country and converting them into CW affiliates, mostly due to some former and current affiliates refusing to air the aforementioned LIV Golf, like here in San Diego with KUSI and the actual CW affiliate KMFMB. At the time of this recording, the company has rebranded the network from its longtime slim green branding to a thick, bright orange logo that also drops the integral article within the CW's logo. So it's now CW, but of course, when you want to refer to the network, people will still call it the CW. The rebranding serves to not only symbolically reinforce the change in ownership, but the channel's new direction. A direction that hopefully intends to appeal to as many people as possible. Whether or not that will work remains to be seen. The CW Television Network airs nationwide. Check your local listings for the station in your area. Finally, I want to briefly talk about the NFL divisional round. And in fact, this particular segment is being recorded over the span of 2 nights. This first half, in fact, is being recorded on Saturday night, while the second half we recorded on Sunday. So let's talk about the Saturday games, and I will freely admit, I had barely any interest in the Texans-Ravens game. And that is not to say that I don't think the Texans deserve to be here in the divisional round. It's just that the first game is always the most boring game. I can't recall when I've ever watched a Saturday afternoon playoff game and thought, this is the best game ever. During the first half of the game, I spent more time cooking lunch and watching YouTube videos than the actual game itself. And then during the second half, I mostly spent it calling people on the phone, and then at one point I just took a nap. Again, it's not that I don't care for like the Texans, it's just that to me, the Saturday afternoon game sucks. It just sucks. Again, nothing against Texans. They did their best, and I'm surprised they even made this far, since I would have assumed that, say, the Jaguars would have made it here, and they have a bright future, as long as they don't screw anything up. As for the Ravens, I'm impressed. You would have thought that taking the week off would have been detrimental, but no. If anything, I'm glad the Ravens made it to the championship game. Mostly because it means that for the first time in a long time, the championship game won't be in Kansas City. Meaning if, hypothetically, the Chiefs were to win tomorrow, Patrick Mahomes would have to play yet another away playoff game. And you might be wondering, wait, hasn't Patrick Mahomes played an away playoff game before this weekend? No! Literally, the only time he's played an away game in the playoffs was when the team was playing the Super Bowl. And that's it. But putting that aside, I'm just eager to see who plays against the Ravens. Would it be the Bills or the Chiefs? But that's a story for, well, tomorrow. Moving on to the evening game, the 49ers-Packers game, in my opinion, was always going to be the more exciting game of the day, because you had the number 7 team that nobody expected would make it to the divisional round taking on the number 1 team. And while I was upset that the Cowboys didn't make it, I was just eager to see if the Packers could do the impossible and 1. Win as a number 7 seed, and 2. Beat the 49ers. Unfortunately, the Packers lost yet again to the 49ers. I will admit, there were several moments in which it did feel like the 49ers were struggling. There were moments in which the Packers could have easily taken the game. They could have easily started a blowout, and yet they were having their own issues too. And it's crazy considering this was supposed to be a rebuilding year for the Packers, and yet they made it all the way to the divisional playoffs. That's something to appreciate, just like the Texans. Two teams that did their best in a season no one expected anything from them, and yet they made it to the divisional round. People were expecting, like, the Jets to make it to this round, or the Chargers, and yet we have these two teams that somehow made it all the way here. And I was shocked at several moments in which you'd think, okay, the 49ers are going to do something here, and then he didn't. And same with the Packers, in which, okay, we're going to see something amazing, and then they run the ball, drop it, fumble, and then somehow catch it again. And in the end, it came down to a few missed opportunities and, well, a lot of kicking. And there were several moments in which I felt, rather than say run the ball, they should have thrown the ball. Especially in that fourth down that it ended by inches. Also, and here's the other thing I liked about that game, at least it was competitive. Last weekend's games were terrible because they were all one-sided matches in which, oh, they were winning by 14, 20, 30 points, and at no point did it feel competitive. Even if the Packers didn't win this game, at least they tried. At least it was a better result than their past games against the 49ers. Now, obviously, they didn't win the game, but it's still nice to see they made it this far. Everyone thought that, oh, the Packers would be sitting at home while the Jets make it to the Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. Ha! The Packers made it to the divisional round, and that's something to appreciate. The fact that they made it that far. As for the 49ers, they need to deal with a few issues, but hopefully they'll be able to come back next week and take on whoever they play next Sunday. Speaking of, let's talk about Sunday's games. And in fact, I'm recording this just a little over an hour after the Chiefs-Bills game just wrapped up. But before we get to that one, let's talk about the first one that happened this afternoon, the Buccaneers-Lions game. Now, this was another game that I, frankly, did not care much for. Mainly because I really don't care about the Buccaneers as well. Ever since Tom Brady left, it's just, oh look, the Buccaneers, and then I move on with my life. I was very hopeful the Lions would win this because it's always nice to see a team that hasn't won in forever, well, win. The Lions, in a way, remind me a lot of the Chicago Cubs in the World Series, in which you see them for years not even make it to the World Series, and then the first time they make it in over 60 years or so, they actually win it. Now, do I believe the Lions might make it to the Super Bowl? We'll see. But this game was, frankly, close at certain points, but for the most part, it felt like the Buccaneers were just faltering. In the end, they just couldn't get there, especially during the fourth quarter. But still, it's nice they tried. Though apparently, from what I saw, most of the team is on the verge of becoming free agents, so unless they can get everybody back for next season, I don't think this team will make it to the postseason. Then again, they were the lucky or unlucky winner of a division that frankly was outright terrible. Man, they only won by default. Maybe that's why I wasn't impressed with the Buccaneers, because they were only there because somebody had to win that damn division. As for the Lions, I'm eager to see what they do next week against the 49ers. Sure, the odds are against them, but considering what happened yesterday with the Packers on the verge of beating the 49ers, it did show that the 49ers have cracks. Whether or not the Lions can take advantage of those cracks, we'll have to see. So now we have the NFC Championship ready to go, but what about the AFC? Well, let's talk about the game that, for me, just wrapped up a while ago. Now there was a lot of hype for this game, and I will admit, I caught up into the hype. You had the fact that this was Patrick Mahomes' first road playoff game. There was the fact that Taylor Swift was coming to town. And then, of course, the random marketing craze that began when the Bills quarterback, Josh Allen, did a commercial with Peppa Pig. And apparently he did two of them. For those who haven't seen it or can't watch it, it's a commercial for Paramount Plus, CBS's streaming service, which has, in one commercial, Josh Allen showed Peppa Pig how to play football while interacting with the Transformers and Dora the Explorer. And then there's this other commercial which came out much more recently, which had Peppa tell Josh to hit a tree with a football, only for said football to hit Beavis in the nads. Yeah, a commercial crossover between a Nick Jr. show, the NFL, and MTV. It even got to the point where Peppa Pig's official Instagram, which I don't follow, but apparently just popped up when I was looking information about the game, was promoting the fact that Peppa Pig would be at the game. They actually got somebody in a Peppa Pig costume to Buffalo, which was very weird. But putting aside all the hype, the game itself was very competitive. If not more than last night's game. It was one in which I thought for the longest time, Buffalo was going to win this game. But then you had that strange moment of time in which they kept going back and forth with the lead. And sure, there was the usual annoying moment in which, oh, Travis Kelce did something, let's cut to Taylor Swift. Then again, I was much more surprised to see Travis's brother Jason, who I thought, oh, he probably won't make it to the game, but nope, he was there. And at one point, got so drunk he took his shirt off and, well, I have to admit, that was pretty awesome. And during that last run in the fourth quarter, I honestly thought the Bills were going to find a way to win the game. I thought, yeah, they'll just keep going down, running the clock down, and eventually get that game-winning touchdown. And then they didn't. So rather than say, go for it on fourth down, they decided to kick the ball. And as Jim Nance said, the two most dreaded words hit Buffalo yet again. Wide right. For those of you who don't know what Jim Nance was referring to, or simply are amazed by everyone making the exact same joke about wide right, it is a tragic reference to Super Bowl 25, when the Buffalo Bills took on the New York Giants in a game that went down to the wire. The infamous part happened when Scott Norwood, the Bills kicker, missed a 47-yard field goal attempt that was famously caught on TV with Al Michaels simply saying, no good, wide right. While the Bills would go on to three more Super Bowls, all four appearances had the same end result. They lost every single time. I was really heartbroken for the Bills. I honestly thought this was their year. Everything just came into place. They had the perfect opportunity to finally beat Patrick Mahomes, since for a lot of people, the idea that he wouldn't be playing at home after the first weekend was something new. Literally, the only time he didn't play at home in the playoffs was the Super Bowl. In a way, the Bills basically cost themselves the game, but others might say the Chiefs got lucky. It was a game in which the Chiefs, in my opinion, should have lost. The only reason they won the game was because the Bills were just that inept. And just to wrap up the whole Peppa Pig thing, I'm looking here at this tweet from the NFL on CBS Twitter account, which has this really sad image of Peppa looking at the celebration, but with this really sad caption. Peppa will have to watch the rest of the playoffs from home. I don't know what else to say to that. Just, this is a very weird game. With all of that said, we now have both the AFC and NFC championship games to look forward to. When it comes to the AFC, I feel that the Ravens have the advantage. Then again, I'm mostly saying that because I really don't want to see the Chiefs back in the Super Bowl for the nth time. And when it comes to the NFC, I just want the Lions to finally get to a Super Bowl. It doesn't matter if they win or lose, just getting to the Super Bowl would be nice. That, and I still feel it's too recent for them to go back to the Super Bowl. I mean, they were already there in 2020, and sure they lost, but still. Also because there is a chance that if either the 49ers, Ravens, or Chiefs win, it may or may not just turn into another rematch. And frankly, if we can get tired of reboots and remakes, I feel like rematches should join that list. So I'm picking both the Detroit Lions and the Baltimore Ravens. The Chiefs take on the Ravens in the AFC Championship game Sunday afternoon on CBS. Later that day, the Detroit Lions take on the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC Championship game at 3:30 Pacific Time on Fox. That is all the time we have for today's show. If you would like to know when the next episode comes out, remember to follow or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite stream provider. You can also follow me on Instagram, Threads, and Twitter/X at Mr. Joel Garcia9, as well as at Mr. Joel Garcia on TikTok. Until next time, thank you for listening.